Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Year in Review Regional Roundtable series, brought to you by the Employment Law Alliance, the largest network of labor and employment lawyers from the best law firms around the globe. I'm your host, Philippe Durand, partner with Auguste Debouzy, France. The ELA Global Employment Year in Review series is classically our most popular series of the year, focusing on the most impactful regulations of the past year and forecasting what employers may expect in the current year. We'll be going through this exercise today with Benelux, that is to say Belgium, the Netherlands, and Luxembourg, because we are connecting with three ELA member firms from our European region, and they're also neighbors to my home country, neighbors with France. Joining us on the program are Cato Arts. Cato is a partner with Lydian in Belgium. We also have with us today Kim Meiss. Kim is an associate with Arendt and Medenach in Luxembourg. And finally, we have Danny Vesters. Danny is a partner with Bontje Advocaten in the Netherlands. Cato, Kim, and Danny, welcome to this program, and thank you for joining our Year in Review Roundtable. How are you doing today?
Yeah, thank you, Philippe. Thank you for having me during this podcast. It will be quite interesting, for sure.
Likewise, very happy to be here. Thank you, Philippe, for hosting us.
Thank you on my end as well. It's a pleasure to be here.
Excellent. So I think that I would like to start with the usual type of question we would usually lead this kind of series, this kind of program for the ELA. I think that I would like to start, and maybe with Belgium and you, Cato, I would like to start with your views for Belgium about the most significant legal changes you would have seen in your jurisdiction in 2022 and that impacted companies, lawyers in your jurisdiction.
Sure, happy to. And it's been a lot for 2022. Let me start with what seems to be a very common change for all European member states last year, and that is the implementation of the EU Whistleblower Directive. In Belgium, the directive was implemented by the Act of the 28th of November, so at the very end of last year. And that means that the Act is enforced now and imposes certain obligations already regarding the possibility to blow the whistle and, of course, also the protection to those who do. Legal entities in the private sector employing 50 to 249 employees, however, fall under the exception that the rules are only to be complied with as of the 17th of December, 2023. So that means they have some time left to make sure they are fully compliant with this new legislation. And especially regarding the reporting channels and procedures, we've noticed with clients that there's still a lot of unclarity for organizations and companies. Which entities should set up an internal reporting channel? What about external reporting? How to deal with international companies in Belgium? Can certain current procedures they already have in place remain in place? So these are all concerns that were being voiced by clients. And it seems that compliance with this new legislation requires intense cooperation between employment lawyers on the one hand, but also corporate lawyers and commercial lawyers to assist employers to implement the legislation. Another legal change with high stakes is the so-called labor deal that was put into law in the fall of 2022. This labor deal is quite broad and touches on several aspects of Belgian labor law. It mainly focuses on flexibilizing labor and also making sure that employees have a work-life balance that is appropriate. One of the most spoken of changes is the flexibilization of working time, allowing employees to ask their employer to work 4 days instead of five, so they continue to work full-time, but they spread their hours over 4 days instead of five and have 1 day off extra. And then an alternative to that was the implementation of the right to ask for alternating work shifts where employees work more 1 week and then work less the other week so that they can combine that, for instance, for the forced parents with childcare obligations. Another aspect of that legislation is the platform economy, where in line with what has happened for other industries, we've implemented a so-called presumption of an employment relationship if certain criteria are met. So that's also to protect workers in that industry. There is a project on night work in the e-commerce sector, where employees can voluntarily step in a project to work at night and work night shifts without the lengthy process of going to the trade unions and concluding a CBA. So that's fairly new as well. It's an experiment. And then lastly, the right to disconnect was implemented, and there are increased rights to education for employees. Then there are some other legislations on the EU Directive on Transparent and Predictable Working Conditions, also some legislation on medical incapacity to work. I think the most significant one there is employees now in larger companies have the right to stay home from work 1 day for 3 times a year without a medical certificate justifying their absence. So that's a huge change in Belgium that usually required employees to bring in a medical certificate as of day one. And then at the very end of 2022, we've had discussions around working days. You may know from other podcasts that we've recorded that working days in Belgium are relevant to determine when to give notice to an employee or when to justify a dismissal for cause. And Saturday has always been considered a working day. And now we've had a change in our civil code saying that Saturday is no longer a working day, which in social matters would have had a significant impact. They turned that around and said at the end of 2022, no, let's not do that. That's going to overcomplicate things. Saturday remains a working day for social matters. And so, yes, it's been a very busy year for employment lawyers 2022.
Obviously, Cato, I won't get into that debate about jour ouvré and jour ouvrable working days for Saturday. Whistleblowing, no surprise. I'm pretty sure that we'll talk about whistleblowing again during this podcast in the EU directive. I also heard more flexibility, especially around working hours and working time and the right to disconnect. I think France was the earliest country to think about that. I'm not sure we can be proud about this, but that's very interesting to hear that other countries and Belgium and France are not the only one. The right to disconnect is also a topic coming up. Now, ladies first here, let's keep with that approach. Turning to Luxembourg, Kim, what sort of legal changes would you like to share with us for 2022 in your jurisdiction in Luxembourg?
Well, I think it's safe to say that the major topics for Luxembourg over the year 2022 were related to COVID and remote work. Indeed, end of 2021, the situation got worse in Luxembourg from a health perspective, and so it was decided that as of January 2022, there was a reinforcement of COVID measures. And so we saw an introduction of the 3G COVID check regime at work. So that meant that all employees were obliged to show a certificate bearing a valid QR code at their work. And so if they refused to do so, or were it was impossible for them to provide for such a certificate, they were actually prohibited from entering the workplace. Also for that legislation, it was kind of new that as of 2022 January, so the employer was then obliged, he was responsible to monitor the compliance with this obligation, which brought notably rather cumbersome measures to it. And also from a practical point of view, it was really hard to find the practical modalities to do so. And also there were different sanctions introduced for both employees and employers who refused to comply with the measures that came into place in January 2022. This COVID measures was pretty funny to see because back like 1 month later in February, the measures that had been introduced in January have been relaxed. So this COVID check regime that was introduced and which was mandatory, it became optional in February and it was abolished altogether in March 2022. So there was a lot of back and forth between the different rules to be implemented from a COVID perspective at the workplace, which was kind of hard for the employers to understand because people were saying, okay, we introduced now these new rules, they have been abolished and new rules came into place. So it was really hard to keep an eye on the situation since it changed so much in this respect. Also, we had new evaluations from a remote working point of view. Indeed, prior to COVID, remote work existed, but it was not really practiced in Luxembourg that much. And so following the pandemic and the result of the lockdown, there was a real need to adapt to a remote working framework. And so this led to a convention on remote work in October 2020, which was declared of a general obligation in January 2021. This convention set out a legal framework on remote working conditions, and it notably introduced a distinction between occasional and regular remote work. So there is this new introduction which came into place for which employers have to comply with the different set of rules which were introduced by this convention. The major point which was new for 2022 was that the Financial Supervisory Authority, the CSSF, introduced a new measure for the supervised companies. That meant that it introduced a circular which provided for additional obligations. So in addition for the conditions set out by the convention of 2020, and these additional measures were only to be applied by the regulated entities. And this was a major impact for Luxembourg last year, and additional measures became effective as of July 2022. So Luxembourg still faced with a lot of questions on COVID and remote working issues. And these were the main topics we were facing here in Luxembourg, notably from a practical point of view on how to implement the different set of rules.
Well, thank you, Kim. That certainly sounds like a busy year as well with those topics. Interesting to see as well that COVID still has some impact on the, of course, the economy, but also employment regulations. Now, last but not least, we need to check with you, Danny, in the Netherlands. What would be your answer to that question, i.e. major changes you would have witnessed in 2022 in the Netherlands?
Yeah, thank you, Philippe. First of all, apparently in the Netherlands, we were not so busy when it comes to changes in legislation, I would say, up front. But when it comes to very straightforward, minimalistic changes, I think it's safe to say that as of the start of 2022, as in every year, there was some change in the minimum wage here in the Netherlands that's being annually changed. There was also an untaxed home office allowance, which was introduced by the government, which is a maximum amount of €2 per day. And that untaxed allowance does not apply to days on which an employee already receives a travel allowance. So there was the introduction of this type of allowance. In addition to that, we had some regulation in relation to ban on smoking rooms. Nobody mentioned that, but we had it in the Netherlands, meaning that as of the 1st of January 2022, smoking rooms are prohibited by law in rooms, buildings, and establishments where employees perform or customarily perform their work. When it becomes more technical, I think it's of relevance to mention three specific acts. The first one is the Act on Balanced Ratio of Women and Men at the Top of Companies. The entry of this specific act is intended to achieve a better and more balanced ratio of men and women on the management or supervisory boards of big companies. And according to this specific act, the supervisory board must consist of at least 1/3 male members and at least 1/3 female members. In addition to this act, we also had the act implementing the EU directive on transparent and predictable terms of employment. That, I think, is the most drastic change in relation to legislation in the Netherlands for 2022. It came into effect as of the 1st of August 2022. It addresses several topics. In general, you could say that the employer's obligation to inform employees has expanded enormously, as in it's a really far-going information obligation that you have as an employer, meaning that you need to be aware of the fact that an employee needs to have a proper understanding of how, for example, the dismissal system works. You need to refer to the law. And if you don't do that, or you have not done that sufficiently, the question arises, how would that, for example, affect the overall situation of dismissal? But it also addresses topics like study and training that you provide as an employer. Do you need to compensate that overall? You see very often in practice that that's being compensated, but now you see that study cost arrangements for example, legally required trainings, you cannot introduce, for example, a compensation clause in that regard because you're obliged to take care of that as an employer. There is also within this act the ban of ancillary work, which is, if you introduce such a clause, void unless justified based on objective grounds. So that's an extra step that you need to take if you would like to agree upon such a clause. And there are certain changes that we need to be aware of for employees with unpredictable work patterns. So this specific act and the impact of that is quite extensive. And last but not least, we have the Paid Parental Leave Act, came into effect as of the 2nd of August 2022. In the Netherlands, you have the possibility to have parental leave for a total duration of 26 weeks, but the first 9 weeks is paid leave for the parent, and that leave needs to be taken during the first year after the birth of the child. And the additional 70 weeks, which are not being paid, can be taken up to the 8th birthday of the child. So there is the possibility to use those additional weeks. And during those first 9 weeks, you have that compensation of, let's say, 70% of the wage. There is a distinguishment between the actual wage and the so-called maximum wage that we have here in the Netherlands as well. Won't go into that detail, but it's good to know that there is that compensation in place. So yeah, very straightforward, Philippe, overall.
Maybe not major reform, but quite a few things and practical information you share with it, which I think are certainly worth knowing about. Smoking room, I found very interesting. I guess we're talking about anything that is prohibited to smoke in any of those rooms, right? Well, we'll get into these details. Now, Another question we often raise in this series, and I would like to turn to Luxembourg and Kim to start with, that's change in leadership, government changes, because we know that this would always have an impact either for 2023 or 2022, the past year and the next year. So I guess it would be worth talking about that. Kim, what would be your input on that, please?
Well, for the year 2022, there were not much changes on this level, but it's very interesting to say that 2023 will be very, very interesting because there will not only be elections on communal level, but also on national level later on this year. So we are all living currently in a very difficult period of time. And so faced to the current situations, both on economic, financials, it's going to be really interesting to see how actually the political movement and government will react to the current situation. So because like we have currently the left-wing parties, they have introduced the idea of reducing working time from 40 hours per week to 26 hours per week. At this point, it's only an idea, but they see it as a flexibilization measure to increase public health and notably with respect to mental health for employees. But on the other hand, it's really difficult to see because from an economical point of view, employers, they tend to be not really supportive of this measure in the sense that inflation is really high. If working forces are going to be less in terms of working hours, this will be very hard for them to cope with the actual situation because we have many small companies here in Luxembourg and it's already very difficult for them to keep up with the current situation, also with the current war which is going on. And so it's an act of balance between the economic needs of the country versus the health of the people faced at situations of war and COVID crisis. So at this point, it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen next. And the upcoming year will be very interesting from Luxembourg point of view in this sense.
Well, Kim, we should certainly watch this contemplated. It's not law yet. This is very clear. This was very clear. But this working time reduction you were talking about, because that would be pretty drastic. But we'll stay tuned and watch that. How about in the Netherlands, Danny? What would you say about any government changes or leadership changes in the Netherlands for the 2022 and maybe 2023?
In a way, that's very straightforward and quite a short answer, to be quite honest. The government is the government. We had elections in 2021. The current government is still continuing what they need to do. Whether or not that's a proper job is always a question mark. But in general, it is what it is. And that will be there for at least a few more years. The next elections will be in 2025. And then it can be that there is a change on a governmental level as well. So yeah, that as a straightforward answer to your question, that doesn't mean that when it comes to 2023, that there is nothing on the agenda, because there are, let's say, changes in legislations, bills that we need to take into account. And if you allow me, Philip, I will also, in a way, give you, let's say, a summary of what will change or most likely will change in 2023. To start very straightforward, because Kato already mentioned it in relation to whistleblowing, yes, that's also an issue here in the Netherlands because of the European directive. We already had in the Netherlands far-going whistleblowing protection because we had the Whistleblowers Act already there in relation to the Dutch House for Whistleblowers. But last year, in relation to the directive, a new law was passed and most recently also agreed upon by the Senate, meaning that that will change, meaning that the already existing legislation needed to be amended and needed to be in line with the European directive. In that regard, it is of importance to mention that the intended effective date for large employers, so 250 or more, that is still an unknown. And in any case, the effective date for smaller companies, 50 till 249 employees, yeah, that will be no earlier than December 17, 2023. And I think it's safe to say that the existing protection for whistleblowers will be improved and expanded as a result of this specific bill and the changes in relation to the European directive. Besides whistleblowing and also addressing other topics, I think it's good to mention that there is a bill on equal pay for women and men. This bill is currently pending before the House of Representatives, and based on this specific bill, companies with more than 50 employees must annually provide information to the Works Council and in the annual report on pay differences between women and men in comparable positions. And companies must provide information on whether there is a pay gap in that regard and what that gap then is and where it is related to. So you need to explain it. So that's related in that specific bill. There will also be a bill which is currently pending before the House of Representatives in relation to supervision of equal opportunities in recruitment and selection procedures. And this bill requires employers and intermediaries to have a practice in place aimed at preventing discrimination in recruitment and selection of employees. More specifically, employers with more than 25 employees must establish this method in writing, and the method must show that the recruitment and selection procedure is based on relevant job requirements, is transparent and verifiable, and is systemically organized, as it is written in the specific bill. Then there is the bill on employee hours accessibility, which is in a way, yeah, we can shut down as an employee. We do not need to be there as an employee all the way. This bill is currently pending before the House of Representatives, and based on the current Working Conditions Act that we have here in the Netherlands, employers are already obliged to pursue a policy aimed at preventing and limiting psychosocial workload. But this bill aims specifically to supplement this by amending the Working Conditions Act and to ensure that employers and employees have a discussion and make agreements about not being available. I think in general for lawyers, that's quite challenging. But there is a bill pending in this regard, so that's good to see. Last but not least, I think it's also relevant to mention that we also have a bill that's recently been passed by the House of Representatives and is currently pending before the Senate, which has to do with Work Where You Want. It's the Work Where You Want Act. It's very straightforward. It is what it is. It's in the name, I would say. And based on this legislation, an employee can submit a request to adjust the place of work insofar as it concerns the employee's home address, so located within the EU, or another suitable place of work from which work is already customarily performed for the employer at that time. I think it's important to mention that an employee may make such a request when the employee has been employed by the employer for at least 26 weeks. That's a thing that we need to be aware of. And the employer needs to employ at least 10 employees in this regard, because otherwise you don't live up to the standard and then the rule doesn't apply. And an employer, and that's the main change, needs to grant such a request. Yeah, he needs to give that away to the interest of the employee by the standards of reasonableness and fairness, making it much easier for an employee to, in a way, work where he or she would like to work. So yeah, that's it in general when it comes to 223 and changes, which are not related to government, but more in general.
Okay, good to know. That's a lot of useful information. How about you, Cato, for Belgium? What would you say about change of leadership, expected changes or prior changes that took place already in 2022?
Well, I would say Belgium's going to be Belgium. So we had some turmoil in our federal government. But the departments related to social matters have not been impacted too much, I would say. As I mentioned, we've had lots of new legislation coming in. I think it will probably be in the coming year that the approaching elections in 2024 will impact the functioning of the government. So 2024 marks the year that all elections, as we say, come together. In May, we'll have the European, federal and regional elections, and in October, the provincial, local and district elections. And you see already at the end of 2022, and then for sure throughout 2023, that that's going to impact how the government is functioning. And then just on a social matter, we have the social elections coming up in May 2024 as well. That's actually the elections that take place every 4 years, where employees choose their employee representatives in the Works Council and Health and Safety Committee. And that is also being prepared currently in 2023, because you have to have a reference period where you calculate the headcount in a company. So that is already taking place now. Preparations are starting. So that will impact on a social law level companies as well.
Interesting to know that you have national dates for social elections. I was not aware of that. In France, it all depends where you had the first election for each company. But that's very good to know. One issue we touched down briefly with Kim a few minutes ago is remote work. We all know that following the COVID crisis, remote work became very popular. Danny also made an allusion to that as well. And I would like to turn to you, by the way, Danny. Anything you would like to share with us about this new form of working and how the Netherlands would tackle hybrid work from home, return to the office, cross-border remote. How do you handle this kind of situation? You did make an allusion to work where you want, which I think is a pretty nice program. But how about the Netherlands in a broader way about the remote work, Danny?
I think that overall, and if you look at my practice, if not everyone's practice in general, it's safe to say that COVID has led to a situation where flexibility in relation to work becomes more and more important. Also in relation to the generation of employees that a company works with, that's also an issue here in the Netherlands when it comes to the overall dynamics, how people, let's say, see or qualify work and how they approach work. And the younger generation sees that more flexible, less straightforward as, let's say, the older generation. Don't know how we qualify old in this regard, Philip. But taking that all into account, I think that there is a new dynamic that we need to be aware of. And you see that when it comes to our current legislation, there is the possibility to do such a request on the basis of the Dutch standard, and that could be approved. But taking the business and the overall business interest into account, yeah, you get the, let's say, perspective of the employee on the one hand and the perspective of the employer on the other. And yeah, that needs to be balanced out, making it sometimes challenging for the employee to move forward with actually being successful if a request is being made, oh, I would like to work more often from home. The legislation that I previously mentioned, the Work Where You Want Act, makes it more easy for the employee to be successful when it comes to such requests. So in a way, that will change, that will shift the dynamics. In a way, it's in line with, let's say, the far-going protection that we have here in the Netherlands in relation to the position of the employee. So yeah, we need to find out whether or not that act will be applied very, very often. And if indeed the overall attitude of companies will also be in line with what this law prescribes. Because last but not least, what I would like to remark in relation to this topic is that where flexibility during COVID was the standard, we couldn't do anything else. That's what it was. After that, in a way, it was also quite standard. But now you see, especially bigger corporations, companies, they find it much more important that the employee is back at work, seen at the work floor. It could lead to more productivity, more awareness. Also from a social perspective, it could lead to a dynamic which could lead to more productivity. So you see that employers are struggling with the issue. Yes, there is flexibility. There is a demand for flexibility. There is legislation focusing on flexibility. But if that is still in line with what the employer in general also would like to see in day-to-day practice, that is a question mark. So 2023, from that perspective, will be quite interesting in relation to the topic of flexibility. We'll see. Never a dull moment, I would say.
I think I would almost share the same view for France in terms of what the employers are expecting now and what the employees are expecting as far as remote work is concerned. Turning to Belgium and Cato, how would you say that Belgium is tackling this remote work topic?
Very similar, I would say. I just wanted to add, Philippe, that I love the Dutch approach, work where you want to act. That's so very Dutch and very clear. So that's good. But I totally follow Danny, where he says that we've noted a shift from working remote at home 100% of the time to companies, you know, slightly starting to ask employees to come back to the office at least once or twice a week and keep that contact. So we see that too. And I think from an employment law perspective, that really requires a carefully thought out telework policy. What kind of flexibility is required? Is there still enough office space for everyone to return to the office on the same day? That's something clients are now struggling with because they've all reduced their office space and then they come to see that they do want to see their employees and how do they divide that? Also, questions on who is not eligible to work from home and when does the employer want their employees to come back and be physically present in the office. So those are all types of questions that we're dealing with. I think with regards to telework, Belgian legislation provides for the obligation of additional mandatory references in the employment documents. So as employment lawyers, that gives us some work. Employees working from home need to be compensated for that appropriately. That needs to be documented in writing. And they also need to have access to the same rights and information as their colleagues working in the office. So I would say telework is here to stay, but we are now adapting to the new way of combining that with office work. We also notice in Belgium, as is the same for other countries, and you mentioned that, Philippe, when you were asking your question, the tendency towards cross-border remote work. Belgium is a very small country, so obviously that happens quite easily. And especially now, post-pandemic, we see that there are many employees who never worked in Belgium, worked abroad, but are living in Belgium, are now working from Belgium for their employer abroad. So that means that that employer needs to register with the tax administration, Social Security administration, which, you know, requires some formalities to be dealt with. And it's actually the Belgian government and the authorities also pointing out that that should be kept in mind and may not be forgotten. So I would say, in summary, clients are often keen on allowing cross-border telework, as it can be an important tool to attract and retain talent. It's what Danny said. It's really a demand on the market, so they need to allow that to a certain extent. But at the same time, they're not always willing or able to register in a foreign country and deal with all of that. So I would say the best advice we can give employers is to carefully overthink all employment, tax, and social security considerations involved before saying yes. It's not rocket science, but it's good to be prepared. And it's like the saying says, if you fail to prepare, you're prepared to fail.
Yeah, I can also witness the fact that we recorded another podcast with Nordic regions, and we did talk, and this one is online already, by the way, and we did talk about cross-border remote working, which does raise touchy issues that you were talking about. And thinking about Denmark, for example, which is also a small country where it's so easy to cross the border and go north to another country or south. So that's something to be borne in mind. For Luxembourg, Kim, what would you say as far as remote working is concerned?
Well, as I previously said, remote working continues to be a very hot topic in Luxembourg, and notably throughout 2022. And this is notably the case since Luxembourg has a very particular role on the landscape, since we have so many cross-border workers who come to Luxembourg every day. And so when COVID happened and everybody was forced to stay at home and remain in the lockdown, Luxembourg was forced to find overnight solutions, which would not only harm the applicable legal provisions on national level, but also on international level. So the main impacts, notably to take into consideration, are from a social security and a tax aspect, because with the applicable legislation on EU level from a social security aspect, an employee cannot be affiliated to two or more social security systems. And so the problem is that when a cross-border worker comes to work in Luxembourg, they are affiliated with the Luxembourg social security system. But if they work for more than 25% in their country of residence, there is a risk that there is a switch of the applicable social security regime. And so they will be subject to the social security regime of their place of residence instead of Luxembourg. And this bears the risk of a potential increase of the social security contributions for the employees which are concerned. This only from a social security aspect, and on the other hand, from a tax perspective, Luxembourg has concluded many cross-border double tax treaties with the neighboring countries, which set out for different thresholds during which the employees are allowed to work from their country of residence. For Belgium and France, for instance, it's now 34 days. For Germany, it's still 19 days. But the problem is that prior to COVID, as I also said earlier, the concept of remote working was not that familiar. And while now, faced to COVID, persons, they got a sense of how it was to work from home, because you have to imagine we are a small country, we have like three main high roads, and so the traffic is immense for the people. And so they lose so many times in the morning and in the evening to come here to Luxembourg to work. So the lockdown and all the measures that came with it allowed them to spend more time with their families. And so then came along the concept of better work and life balance. And so it was pretty hard on employers in Luxembourg to motivate the employees to come back. But the problem is also from a tax perspective that if you go on a professional mission abroad, this is also counted for as a day you are not working from the office. So this is really important to bear in mind. And so notably due to the convention of 2020 and the CSSF circular, we have rules that try to establish a general framework which applies to everyone and to cope for the different situations, because not only have the measures to be favorable for the employers, but also for the employees, because they are also at risk of having more tax incomes. Depending on the case, they will be taxed in their country of residence, which is not the case if they work here in Luxembourg. And so there are so many aspects to take into account. It was really hard for Luxembourg in the beginning to find solutions that would go along with the situation at hand. And so faced with the general desire on working from home, I think the convention is already a good start on how people can combine both private and professional life. And so we have really seen here in Luxembourg that the concept of remote working, which was probably not that known here in Luxembourg, really has become an integral part of everyday life of employees and employers.
Yeah, good to stress all that. And social security taxes, income tax, as you said, can also be key issues when you start having employees moving around in your back without really letting you know. And then that can be a real headache to employers. So I think it was worth stressing all that. Now, moving to my last question, and let's start with Belgium and you, Cato. What would you say would be your best predictions? And of course, we'll be very, very serious about it. Your best predictions for 2023 as far as employment law potential changes or updates are concerned.
Well, we've had a lot of changes in 2022 already, so maybe we could think that 2023 will be calmer. As you know, 2022 was known for huge inflation all over the world. That resulted in very high automatic indexation of wages in Belgium, in some sectors amounting to 11.5% already. So I would say on that level, hopefully 2023 will be a little bit calmer. The National Labour Council has signed off on a wage margin of 0% for 2023 and 2024. Which means that there won't be any additional wage increases on top of the mandatory indexation for the coming 2 years. Nonetheless, I do think that 2023 will also be interesting for employers and employment lawyers. At the start of 2023, already we've had some proposals for new legislation, especially with regards to the fight against social dumping. For instance, a proposal act aiming to improve the working conditions of couriers in Belgium was approved by the Council of Ministers in January. And it provides for maximum working hours, minimum compensation, and fines of up to 5% of a parcel company's turnover in case of malpractices by subcontractors. So I think that is definitely a hot topic that will continue to impact 2023. Other trending topics for sure are health and safety at work, work-life balance. I'm really curious to see how the right to disconnect will be implemented, because that will be in April 2023. So how our companies will deal with that. So all in all, Philip, I'm sure we'll have the same podcast next year with lots of changes, lots of things that we can mention here for Belgium.
Very good. I'm sure that our listeners who are interested in the Belgian jurisdiction will keep an eye on all those topics you talked about, health and safety, subcontractors, etc. Thank you for that. Danny, in the Netherlands, what do you see? What can you see in your Dutch crystal ball?
Yeah, thank you, Philip. In general, I already referred to several changes, bills pending when it comes to changes in legislation. So I'm not going to repeat that. In addition, however, I think it's also of importance to mention that in the Netherlands, there is a discussion going on when it comes to flexible employment in relation to you have your straightforward employee on the one hand and you have independent contractors on the other. What is an independent contractor? On the basis of a European standard, most of the times those people are considered to be straightforward employees based on European legislation. But we have a system in place which is partially tax related, but also related to civil law, where an independent contractor doesn't qualify as such. We already know that in relation to government, our legislator, that changes will be there most likely in the upcoming future, most likely as of 2025, but in front, before that, you see that this discussion is being much more significantly there. And we are now, for example, awaiting a ruling from our Supreme Court in a Deliveroo case. We have Uber, we have Deliveroo, and now we are waiting for a Deliveroo case, which ruling is expected in February 2023. So quite fast in general. And that ruling is... Yeah, let's say employment lawyers are hoping that this could or not, depends from which side you're looking at it, but it could change, let's say, the level playing field when it comes to employment and the qualification of independent contractors as such. Why is that? Because in this ruling, the Supreme Court will focus on the question if a person is working under an employment or as an independent contractor. And in particular, it focuses on the specific requirements for the existence of employment or an employment contract. And in our law, it is prescribed that you need to focus on three specific issues. And one of that is the relationship of authority. And in June 2022, our Advocate General concluded that a different interpretation of that relationship of authority is necessary in this regard, and that what matters is whether the work in question is organizationally embedded in the employer's organization. So if you, for example, Philippe, would be an independent contractor and you do legal work and you work at my firm, yeah, are you still an independent contractor, yes or no, or are you just one of the guys and therefore an employee? Is that embedded in line with, let's say, the line of reasoning of our Advocate General? And if this advice is followed by the Supreme Court, this could or will have major consequences for independent contractors, and especially the companies that hire them, because then those people most likely will qualify as an employee, and that introduces Dutch employment law all over, meaning also the far-going protection of dismissal, but also, for example, if the independent contractor calls in sick, we have a protection, meaning that you can't dismiss, but you also need to pay salary for the duration of 2 years, during which you need to focus on reintegration. So all the typical issues that we have from the perspective of Dutch employment law will then be introduced. And because flexible employment is so significantly there in our, let's say, society, especially the amount of independent contractors, this could lead to a drastic change in that regard. So, yeah, we are in a way excitedly waiting for that ruling of the Supreme Court, and that could change, as I said, the level playing field in this regard when it comes to this specific topic. So, yeah, that to answer your question, Philippe.
Thank you, Danny. Same concerns on this side of the border, by the way, in France, with what we call Uberization of the economy and the employment relationship and the general employment environment. So we do share the same concerns with the definition of what is an employee and what is not an employee. And I think the authority relationship you were referring to looks exactly like what we call lien de subordination. That is to say, subordination link, if I would try to put it in English. Kim, you will have the last word with this podcast for Luxembourg. What do you see for Luxembourg in the future for 2023? How would you summarize that?
Well, since our main major topics for 2022 were related to COVID and remote work, we have to say that Luxembourg is running a little bit behind on other subjects. But nonetheless, several bills of law have been introduced, which on the one hand aim on implementing EU directives such as the whistleblowing directive, the directive on transparent and predictable working conditions, and also with respect to better work-life balance, aspects which I understand are already been treated by the other countries here. But so we are doing our best to keep up with these expectations. On the other hand, we also have quite a few bills of laws that have been introduced and which are specific on national level. So, for instance, we have a bill that was introduced that would enshrine the right to disconnect. Several other bills aim for special new types of leaves. And there is also one particular bill of law which aims to establish a legal framework concerning protection against moral harassment at work. Because at this date, moral harassment is not defined under Luxembourg law. So this bill really aims to provide a legal framework for moral harassment at work. And it's also a really hot topic at the moment. Another one is a bill on law of the legalization of cannabis. This is also kind of new, but this bill aims to relax a repressive approach to cannabis and also to permit a limited use on private premises. And this is, in my opinion, a really interesting subject, because if this bill passes through, it will have an impact on employers, notably, and notably their responsibility regarding the drug use at home. And so it will be really interesting to see on how these bills of law are going to process with. And notably, since we are facing the election year here in Luxembourg. And so it will be a very challenging but very interesting year for Luxembourg.
Very good. Thank you for that. I think actually the three of you are neighboring jurisdictions and countries. We do see a few common and hot topics like consequences of COVID-19, remote working, flexibility, right to disconnect, which seems to be now becoming a topic as well in your jurisdictions, equality between men and women, whistleblowing and gig economy. All these topics we talked about are seems to be pretty common in at least two, even three of your jurisdictions. So this is all the time we had today for the podcast. And Kato, Kim, and Danny, I wanted to thank you a lot today for sharing your insights about your respective jurisdictions, that is to say Belgium, Luxembourg, and the Netherlands on this special ELA Urine Review podcast. It was a great pleasure chatting with you today.
Yeah, thank you, Philippe. And again, thank you for having me in the podcast. I think it overall was quite interesting and good to hear how things work in Belgium, France, in a way also, and in Luxembourg. Thank you again.
Same for me. It was great to be here. Thank you all for the very interesting conversation. I learned a lot. Thank you.
I can only relate to all of you. Thank you so much for having me. It was a great pleasure and also meeting you all. And yes, thank you very much.
And a big thank you as well to our listeners today for tuning in. If you'd like to connect with Kato, Kim, and Danny, please click on their bios in the description of this podcast. We also encourage you to reach out to any of our lawyers around the world by selecting Find a Lawyer on the ELA website at ela.law, that's L-A-W. Information about the programs available in the 2023 Year in Review series can be accessed in the note of this podcast. You've been listening to the Year in Review Regional Roundtable, a series brought to you by the Employment Law Alliance, the world's largest network of labor and employment lawyers from the best law firms around the globe. I'm Philippe Durand. Thanks for listening.